It's a Friday on Scoops with DannyMac.com, and we have the chance to visit with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. We call this Ben Fred Fridays. And the Cardinals, a lot of baseball talk coming up because the Cardinals are in Boston today at Fenway Park. Should be a lot of fun. Should be a great road trip as it takes them through Boston and Milwaukee. Hey, Ben, how are you? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dan. Happy Friday, and happy at least start of the trip for the Cardinals, who took care of business against some of the worst teams in their division at home. And I kind of going into that homestand, you know, they got seven games against teams in the division they should beat. You look at that and say, okay, realistically, how many games do they need to win here to have this be a good stretch? And it's baseball. You're not probably going to go 7 out of 7, but 5, I think they feel good about that. And they had a lot in that homestand to kind of say, hey, here we go, a chance to lead the division for a stretch here. And a lot of good things happening for them right now.
Yeah, a lot of good things, and very good homestand in my opinion. And the reason I say that, now you should take care of the business against those teams, but when you look at Cincinnati, they're playing a lot better. They're pitching a lot better. They started out awful, obviously, this year with just 3 wins in their first 20-plus games. But then since then, they're actually above 500. And the Cardinals saw Castillo. They saw Ashcraft. They saw Green. I mean, they saw the very good starters that they have, and they were able to take 2 out of 3. Then Pittsburgh, they fall behind 5-0 in the first game. They come back. They tie it up. They win it late. They sweep a doubleheader. Very tough to do. And then drop the finale on Wednesday night. So I just look at it as a pretty good homestand. You're not going to win everything in baseball, but to take 5 out of 7, that's what you got to do.
Yeah, and you also have to keep an eye on what other teams are and are not doing. You're winning 5 out of your 7 at a time where Milwaukee has lost 9 of the Brewers' last 11. These things – months like this, they can kind of set the tone for a season and how the standings are going to shape up. When a team is down bad, that's when you want to pad that lead. The Cardinals are doing that. Now we get to see how they can flip the switch against some better teams. The Red Sox have been playing better, and then they're going to shot at those same Brewers to try to see if they can go head-to-head. But things are looking good. We wondered, and I certainly wondered, if they're pitching was going to be able to help them kind of start to stack some series, stack some wins when it was getting tested. But now Flaherty's back. He doesn't have the first start that he wants, but you hope he can kind of improve on the fly here. And, you know, they're still hoping Matt shows up at some point, but the addition of Jack Flaherty could mean big things. The offense is going. And, when you got a guy like Michaelis and other starters contributing, that helps your bullpen out. So in their eyes, they might kind of feel, fingers crossed, that they're past what could have been the worst of their pitching scares injury wise, especially if Jack can click in and get going here soon. He might not be able to pitch as well as Michaelis did his last time out, but few are going to. But if their rotation can continue to give them a chance, and that helps the bullpen out a ton. And they might kind of be through the worst of it rotation wise here. We'll see.
I'm just amazed right now at Goldie and the things that he's able to do. He's just been incredible, man. That series against the Pirates was just ridiculous.
It's feels too early to talk like seriously about MVP stuff. You know, I feel like there's a guy every year that we convince ourselves is going to be the MVP, and then he cools, but he looks like a guy who, if he stays anywhere close to this level, is going to be a pretty obvious choice. He's second in the league in average, second in on base, third in slug. He's second in wins above replacement. He's been just a metronome of consistency, and it's fun to watch, man. He's the guy that was at his best in Arizona, and I think when he came to St. Louis, the idea was okay. This guy's super reliable. He plays all the time. He's a great defensive first baseman. He's one of the best hitters in the National League. But I'll be honest, I don't know that I expected him to have any seasons in St. Louis that were better than his career, what we thought would be his career best in Arizona. And I've had big expectations for Goldschmidt. But it's hard to imagine a guy basically having one of the best seasons of his career past the age of 30 these days. It doesn't happen all that often, yet the Cardinals have him, and he's doing it, and they've had other guys who have done it. It's they're kind of the team where age doesn't seem to matter. But man, when you've got the guy who is producing like that, and he works that hard, and he plays every day or wants to, and you know, it makes everybody on your team better. The other thing too, I think he's having as much fun playing baseball as he has in a long time, but not that he was ever, you know, down in the dumps or anything, but he just seems to be smiling more. He seems to be laughing more. He seems to really like these guys that he's got around him on this team. And I think he also thinks this team is pretty dang good. And I think that makes him happy, because here's the thing, you know, maybe Goldschmidt doesn't at times burn as bright as, you know, a Yadi or a Nolan in terms of his, that fire, but man, he wants to win, and he came here because he wants to win. And that's part of why he signed the extension, him and Nolan both. And I think the guys, you know, who have the corner lockers in that clubhouse feel like this team can do some big things. They maybe don't have all the pieces snapped in yet, and they might need some help at the trade deadline. But I think this team plays in a way and has the kind of vibe around it that I think they can be very good.
Yeah, I would agree. And they are very good. And it should be a team, especially if they can get Flaherty back going. And at some point, Matt's returns, that they should have a chance to win a lot of games. I know one of the things that you wanted to get into is the potential of the All-Stars from this team. And there could be a lot of them, obviously, led by Paul Goldschmidt.
Well, I think there could be, and there probably won't be, right, because they're not going to do this, but you can make kind of a convincing case for as many as like 8. And maybe that sounds nuts, but it kind of depends on how the league and everybody decides they want to handle, you know, Yadi and Albert. You would think that the league would want those guys there. And then there's a discussion of, well, do they leave Adam Wainwright out of that? Or do they do the trio? You know, Yadi and Albert have said they're going to retire. Waino has not said, so does that leave him out? I don't know how they decide to handle that, but you put those guys on the side and say, hey, the league will probably want to honor those guys, and should, and have them be a part of the festivities in some way. But Goldschmidt, absolutely. I mean, he's one of your lead candidates for the National League MVP. At the first part of the season, Nolan Arenado was. Tommy Edman has to be there. He leads this team in war above Goldie. He's been rock solid. I think it's a disservice to him and anybody who plays multiple positions, but he's got to be there. And if the vote doesn't take care of it, then the league's got to take care of it. I think you can make a pretty strong case for Michaelis, especially after nearly throwing a no-hitter. When you look at the amount of innings that he's pitched, I think he's second in the league behind Sandy Alcantara, who we've obviously talked a lot about, the former Cardinal down there in Miami. He's loading up the workload and getting great results. And then, you know, I think Ryan Helsley has to go. He's got a 0.36 ERA in 25 innings. He's got 35 strikeouts, 7 walks. He's allowed 6 hits and 87 batters faced. I mean, it's absurd.
It really is.
It's absurd what he's doing. And, you know, maybe he's not an all-star. Maybe he hasn't been here long enough, but Brendan Donovan is kind of starting to build a pretty impressive rookie of the year case. He's got 20 strikeouts, Dan. It's the same number of RBIs he has, and he's got 44 hits.
I think he's got the most hits in this month.
44 hits and 20 strikeouts.
I think he's got the most hits this month in baseball.
It's nuts, and he's doing it as a rookie. So they're going to have some pretty serious award consideration going on, whether it's all-star, whether it's rookie of the year, whether it's MVP. This jumped out to me. The last time the Cardinals had more than 2 All-Stars, you have to go back to 2013. They had Beltran, Molina, Craig, and Carpenter. And the last time, it could be potentially the first time since 2010, depending on what they want to do with Albert, Yadi, and Waino, 2010 was the last time those guys were All-Stars together as Cardinals. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they do there. The Wainwright not announcing his pending retirement makes it a little more tricky. You can't just do like a 3-guy send-off. But I do think the league has to do something. And as these teams are starting to do more, starting to kind of point out that, yeah, we gotta do something to honor 2 first ballot Hall of Famers in Pujols and Molina.
Are you currently sideways with the IRS? If so, thank Mark Milton, STLTaxLawyer.com. He is joined on with Scoops with Danny Mac, STL Tax Lawyer Mark Milton, widely recognized as one of the top tax resolution attorneys in the country. He prides himself helping individuals, small business owners, solve their tax issues. He's a proud St. Louis U Law School alum, earned his accounting degree from the University of Illinois. He's got a really good website, so if you do have issues with your taxes, just visit stltaxlawyer.com. Go to his website, stltaxlawyer.com. You know, one of the things that stood out for me, Ben, in the near no-hitter for Michaelis was the defense of Nolan Gorman. And, you know, he made another really good play on Wednesday night on a barehanded play and a ball that hit the bag. And he had, when you think back to no-hitters, you're always going to say, man, that was that great defensive play. I bet you could find one in just about every one of them, right? There's that maybe a little luck or somebody came up with a fabulous play that saves the game. Nolan Gorman had two. He had a diving stop to his left, and he also had what I thought was the best play going ranging to his right up the middle. He's got a strong arm. And I think the jury's still out on what the defense looks like for Nolan Gorman, but I like it. I like what I'm seeing. I think he can handle the position.
Improvement at the highest level is something that should not be overlooked. And when you've got a guy who can do that, it bodes really well. It's one thing to just try to keep your head above water and stay alive in the majors. It's another thing to have to grow on the job. And that's what they're asking Gorman to do, because his bat is that impactful. They have a need. They're going to use him a lot as the DH, but he can't be a defensive liability. And if he's a little bit of one, he has to soften that negative as time goes on. And I think we're seeing him start to be able to do that. He's not he's not a stiff out there, and he's also working very hard at it, and he wants to get better. And the Cardinals can do a lot of good stuff for guys who work hard and want to get better. And I think we're seeing it. I mean, I think this week for Nolan was big, because there is a conversation. The Cardinals are wondering what to do with Paul DeJong. And one of the questions is, okay, if they feel like they need to get DeJong back to see if this resurgence is legit or not, or if they want to trade him, and maybe one way to boost his value a little bit more is to get him in the majors, let him hit a couple home runs, or, you know, if they decide, hey, we committed to this guy, we want to give it one more go before we completely cut ties. Those are all the range of scenarios. Probably the path of least resistance for the Cardinals, if they want to do that. And I don't know that they do. I think right now they're buying time. I think they want to challenge DeJong to continue to put up good numbers in Memphis. And they don't exactly want to rush Gorman out. But the path of least resistance, Dan, is to say to Nolan Gorman, hey, you got a taste of it. You're going to be back. Go get more at-bats. Go get more playing time in Memphis for a little bit. We'll bring you back. But you know, if your offensive numbers have cooled off a little bit and you're primarily being a DH, go get the swing right, and we'll bring you back, and let's give DeJong another shot. And that could be one way they did it, but it's up to Gorman to continue to give them reasons not to do that. And I think this week he did some of that. I think you're seeing why. I think there are people in the Cardinals organization say, hey, we brought this kid up. Clearly we got a need for his bat. Let's not be short-sighted here. Let's let him stay. Let's let him grow, as long as he gives us reasons that show that he's doing that. And I think he is. So unfortunately that means more time for DeJong trying to wait it out or prove that he can force their hand. But, you know, there's really the only option, unless you want to, you know, get rid of like a Sosa and have DeJong be a bench guy, which I don't know that role makes a lot of sense. If you got him up, you want him to play. And you want him to use his defense at shortstop, because that's the one thing that you can bank on for Paul. But if Gorman's defense continues to make plays like that, then it's less of a liability having Gorman at second at times. It's less of a liability having Edman at shortstop. And you're not sitting Brendan Donovan. He has been the most frustrating thing for the return of the idea of a return for Paul DeJong, because the guy has to play. He plays everywhere. He's dynamic. I mean, he never gives away an at bat. He hits with two strikes. He hits with two outs. He can change his swing around to find holes. He can do everything. And he looks like he's a guy who's been in the league forever. So he's not going anywhere, and they have to continue to play him. And it makes it hard for what to do with DeJong. So I don't know what the answer becomes, but the more Gorman can play like that, Dan, the less likely it becomes that the Cardinals can convince themselves that they can do without this kid. That, you know, I think you play the long-term approach, and if that means you end up, you know, kind of trying to package DeYoung for something you need, so be it. But there's got to be an opening right now, and Gorman's doing the best he can to try to close it off.
Hey, at what point do we give Randy Flores a bunch of credit for what's going on here? The organization had a shift in their drafts in a couple of years ago. You know, they had a lot of pitching, and pitching was coming, so they said, okay, go down. Let's get some position players. Okay, Jordan Walker, Mason Wynn, Burleson is tearing it up at in the minor leagues. You've got Donovan here. You got Nolan Gorman. I mean, Randy Flores quietly, and he's not picking one or two, but man, he's put together some really good drafts here and producing player after player. He deserves a ton of credit for what's going on here.
I mean, you can't remember a time, I can't, when there's been as many position players in the minors that everybody's excited about.
I agree.
And I think it's a combination of things going on. I think one is we pay more attention now to the minors, but also, too, there are more guys, more bats to pay attention to. It's easy to get excited about Jordan Walker when every time you turn an eye toward the minors, he's doing something that blows you away. I mean, some of the plays that Mason Wynn has made are jaw-dropping. I mean, his arm plays at any level now, and he's doing it offensively. Burleson is the kind of guy that, you know, at some point you say, okay, how do they find him a shot, a chance? Because all he's doing is mauling pitchers down in Memphis. You know, they got the kid who's leading the minors in home runs. It's clearly something's working. And, yeah, you give the talent acquisition a huge tip of the cap. And, you know, the other thing too is, there's been so much criticism, a lot of it fair, about Jeff Albert, the hitting coach. But one of the things the Cardinals have at least stressed is that he's also kind of in charge of the philosophy system wide. And clearly something is working offensively for these younger hitters. Now, it's a fair question, will they be able to maintain it when they get up? But in order to get up, you got to hit well in the minors, and they've got some dudes who are crushing home runs. I mean, the Cardinals are hitting a ton of home runs throughout the minors, so clearly something is working there, and the offense is not something that is, we're sitting around going, man, when is this team going to develop a position player again? Because there are a whole lot of them to pick from, and they could be helping this team for future seasons. And, you know, that's exciting for the Cardinals, because in their ideal world, and they're not shy about this, they would have a team on the field winning at a high level that is completely internally drafted and developed. That's not a secret. They prefer that. They would rather the bulk of their team be guys that they drafted, that they developed, that they have playing in their system from the time that they were major leaguers, minor leaguers, all the way up to being major leaguers. And then you fill in kind of the spots that you need with free agency or signings, you know, trades, things like that. But they want the bread and butter of this team to be guys that were Cardinals all the way up. They had a gap. They went out and got two very good ones in Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt. But their whole goal, and I think one of the things Randy's been trying to do, is make sure that they're not in a spot years from now where they have to go out and trade for some of the National League's best hitters, too, in this case, that they have them and that they can say, we brought those guys up. And I think that's something that when you see what Jordan Walker's doing, when you see the way the bat comes off of Nolan Gorman's bat, you can see how maybe those guys could grow into something like that. And then the other thing, too, people get mad at me, Dan, because I just kind of force it on people that the designated hitter I think is a good thing. But can we just acknowledge that when you have a bunch of exciting young guys who are hitting above their age level and hitting above their weight class, who maybe have some other areas of their game that aren't quite as great and aren't quite as major league ready, the DH is a good thing. Nolan Gorman is not playing for this team without the DH. Albert Pujols is not a Cardinal without the DH, but that's kind of the other side of the argument. If Jordan Walker is going to get a debut, it's probably not going to be because of his defense, and he's not a bad defender, but it will be because his bat is doing stuff that the Cardinals think, man, we have to tap into that, or maybe we have to see if that plays here. Burleson is not getting talked about as how do the Cardinals find a way for him to get a look if there's not the DH to get guys in, to maybe let them let them hit if their defense isn't as good, or to get the regulars rest. So that has allowed a team like the Cardinals, which has a lot of depth and is always looking for ways to tap into that. I think this season they've done a lot better job. I think Ali deserves credit too, of doing a better job of trying to get more, a better team out of more guys, and knowing how to use a whole roster and being open to being flexible and platooning. And he's actually doing it. He talked about it, but he's actually doing it. And the DH allows a team that's built like that to get better results. And it's been a good thing for the Cardinals as they've had this kind of burst of offensive talent coming up through their system.
Hey, it's Dan McLaughlin, and I want to remind you about Rottler. It is pest season, and that means you need to go to the most trusted pest control company in the Midwest, and that is Rottler. Rottler.com.
Because we care. Your trusted source for basement repair. It's Rottler.
Do you have a waterproofing issue in your basement? Stratum Structural Systems is there to help. It's why they're the number one waterproofing company in the Midwest. They put the customer's interest first, provide lasting solutions, and eliminate the homeowner stress. StratumRepair.com.
Because we care. Your trusted source for basement repair.
Hey, Danny Mac for Ryan Kelly. Most of us have spent so much time in the house over the last several months, and you've been thinking, time for a change, new home, improvement. Do it with Ryan Kelly. He is the home loan expert. He'll get you in the new home you want in just a few short weeks. The 5-minute loan approval, only available at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Luke Hughes, we are St. Louis.
The Luke Hughes Automotive Network. They have new, pre-owned, commercial trucks, custom vehicles, stress-free car shopping. It's all with Lou Fuse. Head to Fuse.com to see the dealership near you. And don't forget about what they do for our community with Fuse Athletic. It's Lou Fuse, St. Louis's number one car dealer. Lou Fuse, we are St. Louis.
Lou Fuse, we are St. Louis.
You led me right into maybe our final point here, but I love how Ali is using his roster now. Brendan Donovan gives him flexibility to do that. He can play all over the diamond. So, for instance, with the double headers and the way things have gone, you can get Tommy Edman off his feet and get Goldie off his feet. Arenado, they can DH, and that's part of it. But Donovan can play those positions and play them well. So I love that he's doing that. And I think he's navigated what's been a tough run of games in terms of double headers and whatnot with the pitching staff to try to keep guys healthy, keep guys somewhat fresh, and try to, you know, battle through these games and have a chance to win because of how he's manipulating the pitching staff. So I think he's done a really nice job with that.
He's trusting guys. He's giving guys chances. I like that he doesn't let guys just waste away. You might not love the lineup every day because you wish somebody else was in it, or you might. But here's the thing: you can't ask a guy to never play and then go to him in a spot when somebody's hurt and say, "Go produce." And I think he's doing a better job of remembering where they are in the season and kind of give a wider group of guys, a bigger group, a chance to contribute. And if they don't take it and run with it, well, that's on them. But I think for a long time, there are fewer guys on this team who can say, "Hey, I didn't get a chance," or "I didn't get an opportunity to prove what I can do." I think he's widening that pool of contributors, and that's going to take a little bit less off of other guys. I like that he's pretty frank with what he wants. We haven't, and it feels like it happened a long time ago, but we haven't talked about it because it happened since our last talk. But I thought the way that he handled the situation with Harrison Bader was excellent. I thought the people that were, you know, going to Twitter to point out that, well, Harrison runs harder than Yadier Molina, a guy with bad knees who will admit that he's very slow. It's not even in the same realm of conversation. Harrison Bader is a player who one of his biggest strengths is his energy and his the way he moves the needle for the team. And when he's not redlining it, it affects the team. And when he gets called out, I credit the way that he owned it. And I think you've seen him respond well. But Ali doesn't make up some lie. He doesn't say Bader was hurt. He just says what it was. He doesn't make a big deal out of it. But he said, "Yeah, here's the deal." And then Bader, you know, owns it because he's already talked to Ali about it. I think people who are paying attention are liking a lot what he's doing. I like his frankness. I like the fact that he holds guys accountable. You know, Kisner, Colin saying he needs more offense from Kisner, but also their plan to try to get more from it. He's blunt, and chances are, if you ask him about something you think is maybe turning in the wrong direction or is affecting this team negatively, they're already talking about it, and he doesn't hide that. And I think that's what I appreciate. I think that's what fans should appreciate, is he doesn't pretend like stuff isn't happening. He might not always be as detailed as folks would hope, or there's going to be times where you say, hey, I'm not getting into that, but he doesn't try to turn you in the wrong direction or try to downplay stuff that's obvious. And that takes some getting used to, but over the course of a 162 game season, I think it leads to more accountability. I think it leads to a better feel for what a roster can and can't do. And I think that's the way to do it, because at the end of the day, there's going to be a trade deadline, and there's going to be ways this team needs and can be better. And if his various uses of the roster have shown that those answers are or are not coming, then that means the team should get the best additions possible. So I think he's doing it well. And I think he was clearly ready for this. And I think he's showing that the Cardinals had a guy on their bench who was going to be a manager somewhere one day. And I can understand why they said, hey, if we're making a change, this is our guy.
All right, buddy. Sunday night, 10:30, we've got Ryan Fagan from the Sporting News on Fox 2, Danny Mac, Scoops with Danny Mac's a TV show, Polo Ascencio, which was a really fun conversation, and Jim Hayes, which is always a fun conversation. So that'll be all the baseball talk this Sunday, 10:30 on Fox 2. And I know you guys will be busy over at STL today.
Yes, sir. Tons of content and coverage up there. And if folks are looking to read up on anything Cardinals related, they can find it all there. Derek, Kamish, Benjamin Hockman, myself, Jeff Gordon, everybody writing there for STLtoday.com and in the pages of the Post-Dispatch.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you up next Friday.
Sounds good, man. Talk to you soon.